Jared is preaching again. Really looking forward to that. It was great, great lesson last time. And also, looking forward to great worship. So, okay, hopefully that gave you time to open up your bulletin. You might have opened it up and said, whoa, what's going on? Well, September is what's going on. Our fall schedule kicks back up, which means our calendar fills up a little bit. So we'll just kind of walk through the first few weeks here. We have, this week is kind of the last dead week. And then we're going to have September, the leadership team, the Joy Bible Study, Awana Leaders Meeting, which is kind of what I wanted to get to. If you are interested in volunteering at Awana's, you want to contact Andrea. You could also contact myself, but you will want to show up at that meeting. And that meeting is on September 4th, Thursday, September 4th. If you've already volunteered, you kind of know what's going on. Still might be good to come. If you're not able to make that, contact Andrea, Becky, or myself. But if you are interested, I'm kind of stressing this, if you're interested in volunteering at Awana, this is your opportunity to kind of get a rundown of what's going on and where you might fit in. And if you have kids that are not yet in the Awana program, that would also be a good time to get them signed up. Oh, that's a good question. What sign? Thursday, I think 6, but it's not on here. So
6:25 is when
we start. Yeah, but the meeting is, yeah, I think it's at 6. We'll have to get back to you. Of course, good question. I like that. okay. On the back end here, so the prayer requests. Let's cover a few of these. So please be in prayer for all the fall ministries as they kick back up. We have a couple of prayer requests that are out on the prayer chain that came out, I think, a week or two ago. So if you're on that, just a reminder to be praying. If you're not, you can contact Michelle. Michelle, raise your hand. She's our prayer chain leader, and so you can get her information, and she's the one that will disperse those. Okay, yeah. Leader of the month, Michael Harvey, who also has a birthday coming up. Family of the week, Doug and Cheryl McClure. So Michael Harvey and Doug and Cheryl, please keep them in your prayers. Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. With that, we'll turn it over to worship. We're looking forward to a great worship service. We thank, again, Jared and the worship team. And now let's all
stand. Let's do this thing. All right, would y'all stand with me? We're going to sing a couple of songs, then we'll sit back down. But this first song is called The Creed. And you might notice there is a theme. The pastor, or I should say the preacher and the worship leader were in communication this week. And came up with a theme for all this. So, here we go. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Yes, I believe in the name of Jesus. You came down from heaven's throne. This earth you formed was not your own. A love like this the world had never known. A crown of thorns to mock your name. Forgiveness fell upon your face. A love like this the world had never known. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice, Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. You took our sin, you bore our shame. You rose to life, you defeated the grave. A love like this the world has never known. 'Cause you took our sin, you bore our shame. You rose to life, you defeated the grave. A love like this the world has never known. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice, Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. Be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God, you are Jesus, Son of God.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we are beneficiaries of your grace and your mercy. Lord, thank you. We couldn't say thank you enough. There's not enough words to praise you the way you're worthy of praise. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all we can say, a heart of adoration, singing hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning with that heart of adoration. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious if ever I
have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Wider than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering.
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If it's life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Everlasting, in you there's freedom for my soul, in you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow, where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay, when you move, I'll move, I will follow you, whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How While you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you.
All right. Are you ready for sermon number two? Okay, here we go. I promise I will not disrobe this time like last time, okay? If you weren't here last week, you missed a show. Boy, oh boy. Now, you know me. I'm Jared Schofield. I'm an elder here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. I'm filling the pulpit today for Sam, who is away. So, if you were here last week, I will take it that my sermon wasn't half as bad as I expected it to be, and you are twice as gracious, so thank you for coming back. Last week, we discussed Philippians chapter 1, how Paul, who was in participation with Philippian church to advance the gospel, both shared his experience and then encouraged and taught them to live, not just for themselves, but for Jesus. For his gospel. This is discipleship. This is sanctification. Making the choice to put Jesus before ourselves in our daily lives. But so often we fail to discuss how. How are we supposed to do that? Well, today in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to get some real world examples of how to live. And make no mistake, choosing to live for Jesus or not has no bearing on your eternal security. If you've been to Lake Hazel Bible Church for any amount of time, then you've no doubt heard the simple message of life, which is offered by Jesus to the world. Believe for eternal life. And that gift isn't revocable based on your performance. So lay your burdens and your shames and your regret at the foot of the cross today, and then let's stand up and live for Jesus. Amen. That's what Philippians 1 and 2 is all about, living for Jesus. So, who do you want to be like when you grow up? It's a question that we often pose to our kids or students and ourselves as we consider our future. Maybe your answer when you were younger was something like, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be a firefighter. Maybe you were the oddball kid who said, I want to be like Evel Knievel, and your parents sold your bike. But as time goes on, you grow a little older, maybe the answer to the question changes to something like, I want to be a good person, like my grandmother. Or I want to make a difference in the world, even though astronaut is off the table. But what about now? Whatever age you are, that question still applies to you and to me. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? Last week, I mentioned that we'd be looking at different scriptures today. So, as we seek to answer that question, let's take a look through the scriptures to find out, okay? So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to get into our text. We're going to start with Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, and we're reading in the ESV version if you're on an electronic Bible. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Keep your finger there. We're going to be bouncing to a couple of different scriptures today, so we'll come back to Philippians 2. Very often, we read scriptures like this, and we see phrases like being of the same mind or being in full accord, and we make the mental connection to unity within the church, that believers are to work together in agreement. We might even get the idea that we should look to each other, maybe to our elders as examples, and these ideas are not inherently incorrect. However, I want to redirect your attention. Paul is redirecting our attention off of each other and on to Jesus. When we look for our example, the standard, the one whose mind we need to have full accord with, the one whose same love Paul says we should have, it's Jesus. Look at verse 1 again. So if there is any encouragement in who? Christ. And comfort from love and participation in the Spirit. Any affection and sympathy. In other words, if you want to live for Jesus, friends in Philippi, here's how. Verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind as who? Christ. Having the same love as who? Christ. Right? Being in full accord and of one mind as Christ. Paul says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. These ideals are only found in one person. And it's not elders or the pastor. It's not even the best of us. So I have a question for you. If we need the same love as Christ, the same mind as him, the same selflessness as him, where are we going to find that? You are going to find that in Christ in the Scriptures, okay? We need to get to know Christ if we're going to have unity with him in mind, love, and accord. So point number one today is get to know Jesus in the Scriptures. So time to turn to other Scriptures. John chapter 13. Turn with me to John chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 5 and then 12 through 17. Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's jump down to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. This is what being a servant looks like, modeled by the only one who has every right and every authority not to be a servant. But Jesus instructed the disciples to do likewise, which broke down their presuppositions and reshaped their mindset. This is exemplified in Peter's responses to Jesus when he said, Lord, do you wash my feet? And you shall never wash my feet. But when Jesus explained to him that this was necessary, even in Peter's complete lack of understanding in the situation and what was going on, he was able to say, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Why is this remarkable? Why does this matter? Peter was submitting to his master. He was learning from his teacher. And that takes faith. That takes choice on the part of the student. He could have declined. He could have rejected. He could have had a hardened heart, not willing to listen or change. But Peter heard the teaching and responded. And when Paul in Philippians says to be like Christ and count others more significant than yourselves, this is what I think he's getting at. Jesus is our example, not other people, not good social or societal ideas, not political agendas. Jesus, he's the one who demonstrated to us, and now we have the choice to do likewise. And Paul is calling us to look to Jesus as our teacher too. So, point number two today, learn from the best example, okay? The first step in learning is listening. The second step is responding. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Verse 17. A servant who knows but does not do is not actually a good servant. They're kind of a bad servant, actually. And we'll get into that more shortly. Service is not all that Jesus demonstrated. Okay? So let's take a look at the next few verses back in Philippians chapter 2. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Humility. It's commonly considered the opposite of pride. According to Google, a proud person is characterized by an inflated sense of self-importance and a belief in one's superiority, while humility involves recognizing one's limitations and acknowledging the importance of others. However, I would beg to differ. Jesus didn't have any limitations. I believe a better antonym or opposite to humility is not pride, but selfishness. And a better synonym for humility would be selflessness. You see, Jesus exemplified humility by looking to the interest of others, first and foremost to his Father God, but second to those entrusted to his care. When Paul reminds us in verses 6 and 7 that Jesus was equal to God, and emptied himself to become a servant, he's saying Jesus humbled himself by putting others and their interests ahead of his own rights. And to be very specific, we're talking about it was God's interests, not people's interests. We as people are beneficiaries of God's grace and Jesus' obedience and humility to God. We are not the exclusive reason for it. Sorry to burst your bubble. Jesus honored God's will for God's own sake. And this example is what Paul is trying to show to us. Jesus is God. He has every right to not be a servant. He has the right to rule and reign and do whatever he wants because he's God. Yet he is forever our example, showing us what it looks like to give up selfishness to embrace humility for God's sake in order to show us what humility looks like. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would have to submit to someone, and that someone is God the Father. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, we're going to read verses 36 to 39, and we're going to jump down to verse 42. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Again, for the second time, in verse 42, he went away and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." This account in the Garden of Gethsemane is found in three of the four Gospels. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, he reports that Jesus said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Remember, we just said that Jesus is God. For him to say everything is possible for you is like saying everything is possible for himself. Paul said that Jesus did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. In other words, as something he didn't already have, or as if to say he could have lost equality with God. They are equal. So why is Jesus humbling himself to God so important? There's a lot more to it than what we're going to get into today. But for our purposes in Philippians, it's important because Jesus is our example of humility. If anyone else was our example of humility, it would be based on a person who technically doesn't have the right or authority to be our example unless it's given to them. In Jesus' case, he has every right to authority, yet he chose to humble himself. That's what makes him the perfect and only acceptable true example of humility and selflessness. I hope you haven't forgotten about our big question. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? I hope you're seeing a bit more clearly now, not only how, but why Jesus is our example. So let's go back to Philippians. Back to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 to 11. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Obedience. It's the part that makes us cringe during the wedding vows, right? When you say, I promise to love, cherish, and obey. But what does that mean? When we vow to obey, we're making a commitment to be a trustworthy steward of authority when we're given a task to accomplish. Today, obedience training is synonymous with working the bad habits out of a dog or pounding a man into the mold of a soldier. But obedience is not a cringeworthy vow meant to be scoffed at or a mere nicety to keep the carpet safe from the dog. When Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, he was being entrusted with the most important task in all of history, the task of redemption. And there's years of sermons that could be preached on redemption. But know this, for our purposes today, Jesus is our example of trustworthiness when it comes to completing an assigned task. His task included reconciliation of God and man. We just read about Jesus requesting through prayer that he could be let off the hook from the task, and lesser men would have taken the easy way out. Just look at our first example, Adam, in Genesis. Adam was entrusted with working and keeping the Garden of Eden and forbidden from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we all know what happened in Genesis 3. He succumbed to the temptation to eat of it. He was proved not to be trustworthy. He was proved not obedient. In fact, his story is told again and again throughout history and the scriptures. Just look at Romans 5. We're going to read a big section of Romans 5 today. So, and everybody wake up, need you with me. This is the good stuff right here. We're going to read a big section of Romans 5. And I know I'm bouncing all over the scriptures today and we're covering a lot, but this is how you get to know Jesus, folks. You see him in action through the scriptures. You learn who he was, what he did, and why it matters. Jesus didn't just have one commandment like Adam. He had the whole law to live up to. He was tempted by Satan directly, just like Eve in the garden. He was God himself and had every right to not have to submit himself to humanity, torture, and death on the cross. But it matters that he did. And I recently posed my friend Brian Ritchie a question. What is katakrima? And Brian brought me with due diligence a 19-page paper on what katakrima is. And I know what you're all wondering, what in the world is katakrima, and what does it have to do with anything? Katakrima is a Greek word that could best be understood as servitude to sin. Paul talks about this in Romans 5. And this is a big section, so stick with me. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 10 through 19. And it's all going to make sense shortly. Don't worry. Hang in there. 10 to 19. Here we go. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, there's Adam's story again, right? Through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. When Jesus, as our perfect example of obedience, did the work of the Christ in life, death, and resurrection, he made it possible for you and for me to choose to live like him in a way that glorifies God, not katakrima, or servitude to sin. That couldn't happen before Jesus, not in the same way as after Jesus. You and I were sentenced to servitude to sin thanks to Adam. But Jesus not only secured our freedom through the cross, offering it to us as a free gift through faith, he also became our example of righteousness in life and living, freeing us to finally live life that glorifies God. That's called sanctification. That is discipleship. This is what Philippians 2 is all about. This is why last week we talked about making a promise to live. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? Do you want to be like Jesus? You can be. Friends, we've been reconciled to God by grace through faith alone. Hallelujah. We have eternal life. And if you don't yet, then come see me after the service. But there's a point in our lives when we have to stop and say, wait a minute. I have eternal life, but what do I do now? What am I supposed to do today or tomorrow? We'll look at your bulletin. Number one, get to know Jesus in the scriptures. You can't learn from your teacher if you never go to school. Number two, learn from the best example, what it looks like to be a servant, to love, to be humble and obedient. There's plenty of bad examples for us to follow in the world, but only one who's actually worth following. And our final point today is this. Point number three, make the choice to live. Make that choice to live for him, to bring glory and honor to God. And I like to put it this way, make him a promise to live. So one last look, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 for a final section today, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Friends, we carry the light of the gospel into this dark world, a crooked and twisted generation, like Paul says here. We have the word of life. It's only found in one man, and that's Jesus. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? It's time to take a hint from Paul, learn a lesson from Jesus, choose to stop grumbling and disputing. It's time to stop making excuses. Maybe it's time to step up rather than take the easy way out. It's time to get down on our knees and wash some feet or pray that God's will be done, not my will. The next time you're faced with a task to complete, consider, what would Jesus do? Did he complain when he was undeservingly put on that cross? Did he exercise his rights? He humbled himself in obedience to the Father. Friends, make no mistake, this is not a guilt trip, and I'm not asking you to take my word for it. I'm not asking you to imitate me. I'm not perfect, just like none of us is perfect. But we can lay our burdens, our shame, and our regret at the foot of the cross where it belongs, stand up in confidence, and in Christ, move forward. If there's anyone that I want to be like when I grow up, it's Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the example that you led for us in life. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you modeled for us what it looks like to be a servant, to be humble, obedient, to put ourselves second for God's glory. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that you love so much. You're a perfect example, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, help us to live the Jesus way. It's not easy. Sometimes it's going to be real hard. It's going to include difficulties. But it's worth it to bring glory and honor to you. So help us to choose it. Help us to choose you to be the body of Christ that you made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all stand with me for this last song?
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my arm is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, he wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name, he is the treasure, he is the answer, oh I choose the Jesus way, I choose surrender. Choose the love, oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness, I choose grace, I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way, I choose the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
You are dismissed. Walk with Jesus.